face of treachery. By Gav Thorpe. Read by Jonathan Keeble. Artificial eyes scoured the firmament, seeking a telltale reflection of radiation, looking for a pinprick of light, searching for the merest hint of heat in the coldness. The enemy were out here somewhere, lurking in the shadow of Istvan VI's rings. Ice and dust particles provided ample cover for a starship, a hindrance compounded by the residual plasma clouds and radiation from the battle just fought. Six vessels prowled the void. At their head was the battle barge Dedicated Wrath, its flotilla of two strike cruisers, one grand cruiser and two destroyers, spread across hundreds of thousands of kilometres of space. They approached Istvan VI warily, unsure how many of the enemy had escaped the initial battle. Plasma reactors on idle, they drifted out-system by inertia. What power they were expending directed to the banks of scanner antenna jutting from their prows. On the bridge of the Dedicated Wrath, Lieutenant Commander Nyvash Delarax fixed his stare on the main screen. The huge display dominated the wall of the main bridge, covered with an anarchic maze of surveyor data and scanner sweep returns. Istvan VI loomed large in the display, its gold and blue rings shimmering coldly in the faint light of the system's star.
"Industrious reports possible scanner return in Quadrant 8 Theta," reported one of the aides at the scanning console behind the Legiones Astartes commander.
He was non-Legiones Astartes, though his body showed signs of augmetic surgery, and his left eye was a bionic replacement that twinkled red in the bright glow of his screen.
"Too big to be an asteroid, though possibly an uncharted moonlet."
Delarax moved his gaze to the top of the screen, to the area mentioned. It was pointless, he realized. Even his augmented eyes would not spot something before the systems of the battle barge, especially since the visual display he looked at was itself a construct based on that data. If the Dedicated Wrath could not see the enemy, neither could he.
"Tell Industrious to close to within 50,000 kilometers of the source," said Delarax, pulling his eyes away from the screen. "Move Justified Aggressor to a triangulating point."
"Affirmative, Lieutenant Commander," said the aide.
The thought that he might have found his prey sent a buzz of excitement through Delarax. He had spent many days fruitlessly searching the outer reaches of the Istvan system, and had almost come to believe that the enemy were not here at all. His pre-cortical implant responded to his change of mood. With the tiniest of vibrations, the device triggered a wave of chemicals through Delarax's brain. Immediately, every sense was heightened. He could smell the sweat of the men at the consoles, the oil from the machinery. He could taste the static from the display screens and feel the soft currents of air from the overhead ventilators. The blue and white of his armour seemed brighter, and every hiss, bleep and breath across the bridge echoed in his ears.
"Industrious confirms contact," the aide said excitedly. "Positive transmission identification. It's a salamander's ship, strike vessel classification."
"At last!"
Delarax let out his pent-up frustration with a shout. He turned and stomped across the bridge towards the communications desk.
"Signal the whole flotilla. Maneuver for immediate attack. Transmit the following to the enemy. This is Lieutenant Commander Delarax of the World Eaters. Stand down your weapons and prepare to be boarded. Non-compliance will result in your destruction. You will receive no further warning."
"They're making a run for it," the scanning officer called out. "Cutting away from Istvan VI, gaining speed."
"Flotilla, move to intercept," said Delarax. "Target engines at earliest opportunity. If they get away, you will answer to me."
The World Eater's implant was in full battle mode now, sending jolts through his adrenal system, gearing up his whole body for the coming fight. The sensation was a curious blend of clarity and euphoria, a general sense of well-being that pleasantly dulled the Lieutenant Commander's thoughts, while his instinctual reactions raced away, filling him with a barrage of sensation. As the World Eater's flotilla powered up their engines, the Salamander's cruiser turned out-system and darted for its next patch of cover, a cloud of asteroids some 500,000 kilometres from Istvan VI.
Like a pack of hounds, the ships of the World Eaters gave chase, the more powerful engines of the dedicated Roth pushing the battle barge to the front of the pursuit.
"Prepare warp torpedoes! Maximum spread!"
Delarax ordered, as the dedicated Roth continued to close the range. If the strike cruiser was allowed to gain the sanctuary of the asteroid field, the less manoeuvrable battle barge would likely lose its prey. This was a kill that Delarax wanted for himself. The salamanders were still several thousand kilometers from safety when the gunnery captain reported that they were now within maximum torpedo range. Delarax held off the order to fire, judging the distance to be too great. He paced back and forth across the bridge, impatiently waiting for the moment to fire when the torpedoes would give the enemy the least time to react, but catch the strike cruiser before it reached the asteroid field. He listened to the range being counted down by one of the aides and occasionally glanced across to the main screen. The strike cruiser's position was highlighted by a glowing reticule, but the ship itself was still too distant to be seen, even with full magnification.
"Our guest wishes to be updated on the current situation."
Delarax turned to see his second-in-command, Captain Althix Cordassus, had entered the bridge. His blue-and-white armour was trimmed with gold, his right arm a mechanical prosthetic clad with plates painted to match his powered suit. Most remarkable was the look of disdain on his face as he spoke of the War Master's representative.
"He can monitor the comm feed like everybody else," growled Delarax. "I'm busy."
"He wants a personal report,"
Cordassus said with a look of apology.
"He won't get one,"
snapped Delarax. With combat stims flowing through his body, he was in no mood for the petty requests of Horus's ambassador. The thought of even looking at the Space Marine envoy that had been forced upon him made Delarax quiver with anger.
"What shall I tell him?"
asked Cordassus.
"Whatever you like,"
replied Delarax, turning back to the main screen.
"This is none of his business."
Cordassus waited a few moments longer before realizing he would get nothing else from his commander.
"I might as well stay here and watch the excitement then," said the captain.
"You're welcome,"
said Delarax.
"Man the weapons station."
When the range had closed to the optimum opportunity, Delarax gave the order to loose a full torpedo salvo. The battle barge shuddered as the gigantic missiles were launched. They appeared instantly on the screen, four flares of yellow plasma against the stars that suddenly winked out of existence as their warp drives engaged. Skipping in and out of warp space, the torpedoes left a trail of multicoloured flashes in their wake, describing an arc that slowly curved to the right as the salamander's craft tried to evade them. Then they were out of sight, reduced to warp echo registers on the scanners.
12,000 kilometres to target,
reported a weapons officer, reading from a glowing green screen. He was Skander Vior, a World Eater too, and, like Delarax and Cordassus, was clad for battle in his armour. Unlike the officers, he had painted much of his armour red, a growing trend amongst the Legion, an acknowledgement of Angron's warrior cult. Vior waited a few seconds.
11,000 kilometres to target.
The countdown continued, and Delarax ceased his pacing at 7,000 kilometres.
6,000 kilometres to target,
said the weapons officer.
Switching to onboard data scanners, preparing for spread.
A subscreen flickered into life on the main viewer, showing an aggregate view from the torpedoes, rendered in a stark black and red monochrome. Strange shapes whirled, and Delarax realized they must have switched view while the torpedoes were in mid-jump. A moment later, they rematerialized in the real universe, and the strike cruiser flashed into view. It was long and thin, with a launch bay built on its dorsal superstructure. Pinpricks of plasma erupted like sparks from the flight deck as the salamanders launched attack craft to intercept the incoming torpedoes.
5,000 kilometers, spread launch,
announced the officer. The torpedo-generated image swirled into static for a few seconds as the missiles separated, each disgorging 400 warheads at the salamander's cruiser. When the relay returned, the view was filled with a cloud of 1,600 glimmering projectiles. Explosions blotted out the stars as the salamander's craft swooped and climbed and rolled through the mass, blasting away with cannons and lasers.
As the warhead launchers continued to power towards the strike cruiser, each containing a 5-megaton nuclear charge, the defense turrets of the Salamander's vessel opened up. Ripples of plasma blasts and flashes of high-velocity munitions streaked across the view, detonating even more of the warheads. The torpedoes were close enough now to relay a direct image. The construct-based picture was replaced by a near-real-time view of the strike cruiser. It was dark green and banded with broad irregular stripes of yellow, the badge of the Legion visible against a huge white circle near its prow. Through the haze of detonations, it turned away, the captain trying to narrow the ship's profile against the swarm of incoming warheads. Plasma engines shone like stars through the fog of explosions, distorted by a shimmer of energy fields.
"Fool," said Delarax, smiling at the weapons officer. "A rudimentary mistake. One should turn into a torpedo attack, protecting the engines. A novice, no doubt."
Blue and purple lightning flickered as the remaining warheads, several hundred of them, slammed into the strike cruiser's shields. The vessel was engulfed by a blaze of detonations, so bright it appeared on the main display like a nova being born. More explosions followed as the shields overloaded and the remaining warheads struck the cruiser's armoured hull. Plasma billowed from a ruptured engine duct. A moment later, the miniscreen vanished as the warhead launchers detonated.
"Scanners confirm severe engine damage and moderate damage to the starboard gunnery decks."
"Signal the flotilla close in for the kill," replied Delarax.
"Receiving transmission from Legion Command," declared a communications aide. "Strapped with a priority subsignal."
"On speakers,"
replied Delarax, not moving his eyes from the screen. The bridge hissed with static, and a series of coded beeps and buzzes sounded before a bass voice broke across the noise. Delarax's attention was immediately fixed on the message, all other considerations forgotten as he recognized the voice of Angron, the World Eater's Primarch.
"The treacherous sons of Korax continue to elude that lumbering engineer, Perturabo. The War Master has seen fit to give me free hand at the hunt, and I will bring down the scum of deliverance within days. All ships are to return to orbit to conduct the search. To me, my savage hounds, we shall let loose our fury upon the Raven Guard and wipe them from history. Obey with immediate effect."
"Shall we break away?" asked Cordasis.
"No,"
replied Delarax. He looked at the strike cruiser limping towards the asteroid field, followed by a trail of expanding plasma, a predator seeing its prey wounded and ready for the kill.
"Let the others chase the Raven Guard back and forth across the mountains. A few more hours will make no difference. I have a salamander to slay."
Bran frowned and looked at the scanner report again. It did not make any more sense on the second reading. He turned to his companion, the Imperial Army Prefector, Marcus Valerius.
"A large residual trace of plasma and radiation, plus scattered debris clouds," said the Raven Guard commander.
"A space battle?" asked the Prefector.
"A large one," replied Bran. "Too large."
"What do you mean?" asked Valerius. Bran handed him the report and walked over to the men working the scanner console, his armor's heavy boots muffled by the thick carpet laid over the decking.
"Have these readings been confirmed by the rest of the fleet?"
"Yes, Commander," replied the chief officer. "Within standard parameters, all sensor returns are showing the same across the fleet."
"What do you mean by too large?" asked Valerius.
"Dozens of destroyed ships," said Bran. "More ships than the entirety of the Lunar Wolves fleet."
"Imperial Army vessels turned by the War Master, perhaps," suggested the officer. "Oh, and were they not renamed the Sons of Horus?" The Prefector toyed with the red sash across his chest, a symbol of his family's nobility. It showed signs of wear from Valerius's constant fidgeting during the long warp jump from Deliverance to Istvan. The Prefector's nervousness was understandable, though it irritated Bran considerably. Valerius had persuaded the Raven Guard commander to abandon his role as garrison leader of the Ravenspire to come to Istvan, and had vouched for the act with his life.
Bran was more than willing to exact the price offered if the trap he suspected proved to be true.
Even so, it would indicate almost total destruction of the involved fleet, said Bran, ignoring the Prefector's correction. That many destroyed ships indicate a much larger battle.
How do we proceed? Asked Valerius. Bran considered his options. His fleet, composed of 3 Raven Guard vessels, including his battle barge and a handful of Imperial Army transports and frigates, had entered Istvan perpendicular to the orbital plane. He studied the schematic display of the fleet's position on a monitor. A projected course drew a dotted line around the Istvan star towards the planets currently on the other side of the system.
Activate sensor dampening protocols, said the commander. Rig reflex shields for silent approach. We'll come in across the star to mask our signature. I don't want to be seen.
What about my vessels? Asked Valerius. We don't have that capability.
Get them to run as quiet as possible, said Bran. Until we find out what has happened, I don't want anyone else to know we are here.
Quiet running will slow us down, said Valerius. He blinked rapidly, another nervous tick he had developed. What if we are being too cautious and arrive late?
Late for what? Rasped
Bran, out of patience with the Prefector's constant hectoring.
The battle's already happened, Marcus. Whatever occurred here is over.
5 days closer to Istvan V, where the majority of the fighting appeared to have taken place, Bran was in his quarters when he was passed word that the ship was receiving a transmission from Valerius's flagship.
Send it through to my personal comm, said Bran, putting aside the data slate of sensor readings he had been studying.
The reports all confirmed the initial survey. A space battle, or rather several battles, in a short period of time involving nearly 100 vessels, had raged around Istvan V and out-system towards Istvan VI.
Commander Bran, we have picked up a signature code.
Valerius's voice sounded reedy and weak over the hissing comlink.
It's an Iron Hands identification transmission. A ship identifying itself as the Glory of Victory. It's automated, trying to track the signal for reply.
Negative, snapped Bran. Do not open transmission. Do you want everyone in the Istvan system to know we're here?
My apologies, Commander, said Valerius. However, a narrow beam signal will be very hard to detect. Perhaps those on the Iron Hands ship can tell us what happened here.
Negative, Bran said again. Continue to monitor for other transmissions.
But what if they need our help? Said Valerius.
We can't trust them, said Bran.
I don't understand, Commander, said the Prefector. We can't trust the Iron Hands.
My technicians have been analysing the readings from the battles, Bran explained. It's hard to be certain, but it seems that the fleet sent to deal with Horus split and fighting broke out. I fear it is not just the Lunar Wolves that have turned against us. Until we know for sure who is loyal, we have to suspect everybody.
Static filled the room as Valerius absorbed this revelation. Eventually the officer spoke again, his voice a barely heard whisper in the hiss.
But if that is true, what of the Raven Guard?
He said.
Your dreams may have had something to them after all, Marcus, said Bran.
So now we set full speed?
No, not yet.
Bran took a deep breath, only now consciously acknowledging a doubt that had nagged him since he had first begun to suspect the extent of the treachery at Istvan.
We have to be careful. We may be the last survivors of the Raven Guard.
3 days out from orbit of Istvan V, Bran's fleet ghosted in on minimal power. Every spare watt of energy from the reactors diverted to the sensor arrays and communication systems, seeking answers to horrifying questions. The evidence was overwhelming. Horus had allies from within the fleet sent to bring him to order. Bran spent most of his time on the bridge of his battle barge, the Avenger. For the last 2 days he had hosted Valerius on board to ensure that the Prefector was within easy reach if things went amiss. The Imperial Army officer sat beside the communications console, gnawing at a worn nail, cheeks sunken, his usually smooth skin dark with stubble. He stared at the screens with haunted, bloodshot eyes rimmed with darkness, and Bran guessed that the nightmares still plagued the officer, though he had not mentioned them again since they had set out from Deliverance.
"Picking up some garbled comm traffic,"
one of the attendants reported. Valeria sat bolt upright, turning on the bench to Bran.
"World Eaters protocols. Trying to crack them now, Commander."
"Who are they signalling?" asked Bran.
"General Legion broadcast, Commander," the aide replied. "Also picking up registers of word-bearers and Emperor's children signals. They seem to be communicating with the Sons of Horus."
Valerius seemed to become even paler, if that was possible. He met Bran's narrowed gaze with a wild look.
"The world-eaters, Emperor's children and word-bearers," he said. "All of them turned."
Bran said nothing, finding such a treachery impossible to comprehend. He tried to think of some other explanation for what they had discovered, but could not escape the truth. This was no simple rebellion. This was the birth of civil war. He sat in his command throne, armor servos creaking and whining as his fingers tightened on the arms. Head bowed, he tried to clear his thoughts, to come up with a plan of action. What had happened made no sense, and his mind kept coming back to an unanswered question.
"What are the Primarch and the Legion?" he asked quietly.
"No Raven Guard transmission detected, Commander," said the communications orderly. "We've scanned all Legion frequencies and beyond, but no recognizable signatures detected."
Bran sighed. His earlier fears had come true, and Valerius's dire predictions also. The Raven Guard were no more.
"Signal the fleet to prepare for new course orders," he said.
"What?"
Valerius was on his feet.
"Change course for where?"
"Out of here," said Bran. "We're too late."
"There may be survivors,"
said Valerius. He opened his hands imploringly towards the commander.
"We have to at least get closer to find out the truth."
"That can come later," said Bran.
"Our immediate task is to elude detection and leave the system in one piece. After that, we can work out what happened."
"Commander, we are picking up a broadbeam transmission from the surface of Istvan V," said the comms officer.
"Directed to us?" said Bran, taken aback.
"No, Commander, it is a general broadcast. Minimal encryption. You should hear this."
"Very well," said Bran, leaning back in his command throne.
The voice that boomed from the speakers was edged with madness. Every syllable spat like a curse.
"And then we shall crush the misguided Sons of Korax completely. They think they can evade us forever. They are wrong! I will hunt down Korax and break him myself. The Raven Guard have nowhere left to run. In 2 days, our victory will be complete, and the last survivors will be crushed by the World Eaters. Blood demands victory, and we shall let it flow."
"That can only be Angron," said Bran, when the transmission was cut.
On the one hand, he was elated that Korax and the Legion still survived. On the other, it seemed that survival would not last much longer.
"Can you source that transmission?" he demanded, standing up.
"Better, Commander," replied the technician. "There are planetary coordinates attached to the signal, indicating where the World Eaters plan to attack, calling for orbital support."
Pushing aside his doubts and confusion, Bran set his mind in motion. A strategy immediately sprang to mind, but it was risky. He reconsidered, analysing his options, but was drawn to the same conclusion. A third evaluation did not suggest any alternatives.
"Marcus, I need you to signal your fleet," Bran announced. "Tell them to make full speed for Istvan IV.
"Istvan IV? Not Istvan V? And won't full speed make us instantly visible on every scanner within range?"
"That is my intent," said Bran.
"A decoy?"
Valeria spoke flatly, as if his last shred of emotion had been drained from him.
"You want to use my ships and men as decoys?"
Bran nodded and said nothing. Valerius closed his eyes and pinched his nose as if he had a headache. He nodded to himself, jaw clenched.
"Very well," said the Prefector, opening his eyes to stare at the Raven Guard commander with resignation.
I shall return to my flagship and make the preparations.
No. You will continue to serve here, said Bran. As we agreed, you do not leave my side.
You still do not trust me? The prefect sighed heavily. What more proof do you need?
When the Primarch is safe and our brothers aboard, I might trust you then, said Bran. Until that time, you stay here.
You plan an evacuation under fire, said Valerius. I'll have my transport send over as many shuttles and dropships as your flight base can hold.
That will be good, said Bran. Let us hope that we need that many.
With a growl, Delarax jabbed a finger onto the transmission key.
I do not care what problems you are having, he snarled. Run the reactors at 120%.
We risk plasmic extrapolation, Lieutenant Commander, the engineer replied. It could shut down the whole system.
The greatest battle in the World Eater's history is about to take place on Istvan V, said the Lieutenant Commander. Do you think I want to arrive late for that? You have your orders. I expect them to be obeyed.
Delarax cut off the response and whirled towards the navigation officers.
And you, he snapped. I want to hear no more about gravity wells and safe distances. Get me to Istvan V by the shortest route. No excuses.
The helmsman nodded nervously and turned his gaze back to the controls. Delarax continued to stalk the bridge, seeking any way to get to the battle even faster. Angron was due to initiate his final assault on the Raven Guard in 6 hours, and Delarax was determined that he would be there to take part. Already the rest of the flotilla had been left half a day behind, unable to keep up with the battle barge's superior power. The dedicated Roth would be on hand to rain down fire on the remnants of Korax's legion, whatever it took. If all went well, Delarax would be able to join in the fighting directly. Drop pods were being prepared for a combat launch. The World Eater smiled at the thought of butchering some Raven Guard. Cordasis noticed his commander's expression and joined him beside his chair.
We will have our chance this time, said the captain.
The slight against us at the drop site will be expunged. Did you not hear the War Master's words?
Delarax replied quietly, a sneer twisting his lips.
To take part in the fleet battle was a great honour, essential to our victory.
It was an insult, said Cordasis.
The Primarch saw it for what it was and did the right thing. To simply obliterate a foe from afar lacks glory. What honour is there when one cannot see the life fade from the eyes of a fallen enemy, or smell the blood spilling from his wounds?
None, agreed Delarax.
His implant buzzed in response to his mood, sending a jolt through his thoughts.
The cowards of the Raven Guard will be shown the true face of war.
And what of the War Master's ambassador? Whispered Cordasis. What if he chooses to interfere again?
He is but a single warrior, said Delarax. He is no longer relevant.
I understand, said Cordasis. Do you want me to deal with him now?
The thought entertained Delarax, a murderous impulse stimulated by his implant. He quivered as he pictured Horus's representative lying mangled at his feet, but fought through the urge to kill.
Now, he told Cordasis, there is no reason to risk the War Master's displeasure, as satisfying as it might be. Just be ready, should I need you.
I'll be ready, said Cordasis with a grin.
Have no worry about that.
Delarax checked the chronometer again. 4 hours until the assault began. He was pleased, knowing that he would reach orbit in time to take part. The drop pods were prepared for immediate launch, his 20-strong bodyguard ready for the attack. The lieutenant commander sat in his chair, trying to remain composed. It was a hard task. Visions of what he would do to the Raven Guard kept flickering through his thoughts. His implant responded again and again, rewarding his thoughts of killing with surges of chemical stimulants.
Receiving word from Legion Command, announced Cordasis. He gave an angry growl as he read the message.
An enemy fleet has been detected in the vicinity of Istvan IV, Lieutenant Commander.
The fleet is being ordered to depart and engage them.
Depart?
Delarax snarled.
Now? What of the assault on the Raven Guard? We cannot let the Legion attack without orbital support.
The orders come directly from the War Master, said Cordasis, directing a meaningful look at the Lieutenant Commander.
I take my orders from our Primarch, replied Delarax.
Legion Command has confirmed the orders, said Cordasis.
He shook his head sorrowfully.
They are authorized by Angron.
Let the rest of the fleet deal with the problem, said Delarax. They do not need us there.
The internal communicator crackled into life, and a mechanical voice cut across Cordasis's reply.
I have monitored a transmission from your Legion commanders, it said. Why have we not yet altered course to deal with this emerging threat?
Clenching his fists, Delarax resisted the urge to smash the speaker. He took a deep breath, steadying himself as his lobotomizer initiated another flood of hormones and chemicals through his brain. With some effort, he unclenched his fingers and flicked the comm switch.
I was denied at the drop site. I will not be denied again, he told Horus's liaison. It is also tactically unsound to have no orbital support for the assault.
That will be dealt with by other fleet vessels, said the other space marine. Your orders are clear, Lieutenant Commander. Obey them.
Then let those other vessels deal with the situation at Istvan IV,
snapped Delarax.
The World Eaters should be protecting their own.
You are part of an alliance, Lieutenant Commander, replied the voice. Its sterile calmness, its assured tone, enraged Delarax more. We each do our part for victory. Your part at this moment is to join the rest of your fleet moving to Istvan IV. Do not forget, you are Legiones Astartes. Maintain discipline and obey your orders.
Bran felt uncomfortable as he watched the glowing blips on the sensor return, moving from orbit around Istvan V. Not until he had come to the system had he known apprehension, but it had become his permanent companion since he had realized the extent of the treachery that was unfolding here. At least he maintained some semblance of composure, unlike Valerius. The Prefector lurched between near catatonia and panic. At the moment, he was asleep, muttering to himself, with head laid on a display screen. He twitched and mumbled, fingers dragging along the metal of the console on which he was slumped. Bran could only guess at the nightmare that plagued him, and was thankful that Legiones Astartes were not vulnerable to such terrors.
"The World Eater's fleet is moving away,"
announced one of the scanner technicians. Bran looked back at the display and saw the signal returns drifting further from Istvan V, heading in-system.
It worked, he said.
Bran nodded towards the fitful Prefector.
Wake up, Marcus.
One of the aides shook the Imperial Army officer gently. Valerius rose from his dream with a moan and looked around the bridge, eyes fearful. He settled after a few moments and focused on Bran.
What is happening?
He asked, scratching a stubbled cheek with ragged nails. Bran directed Valerius's attention to the screen.
It worked, said the Prefector, disbelief written on his features.
His expression changed to a broad grin, and he looked at the Raven Guard commander with wide eyes. He laughed.
They took the bait! They took the bait!
Yes, they did, said Bran. We have less than 2 hours to get into position. In 1 hour, we will move to full drop formation. Brief your shuttle crews.
Yes, I will,
said Valerius, staggering towards the door.
Before you do, might I suggest you take a moment to make yourself presentable to your men? Said Bran.
Valerius looked down at his dishevelled uniform and ran his fingers over the bristles on his chin. He nodded and straightened his sash. With a nervous cough, he left the bridge, walking with slow, deliberate strides. When he was gone, Bran turned his attention back to his crew, glad to be free of the distraction.
"Any more comm intercepts?" he asked.
"None that are good, Commander,"
said the crewman in charge of the communications array. He swallowed nervously and could not meet Bran's eye.
"World Eater's signals suggest they believe the Legion to be below 10,000 strong. Angron is all over the frequencies, declaring the destruction of the Raven Guard."
We will not allow that to happen, said Bran. He turned to the sensor console. What orbital assets have the World Eaters kept?
None, Commander, replied the technician.
He wiped sweat from his bald head and leaned back in his seat.
None that we can detect.
Perhaps this is just an elaborate trap, said Bran, thinking aloud. They could have ships lying in wait for us. Maybe they've been monitoring us all along, and this is to draw us in.
Unlikely, Commander, said the aide. At this range, even on lowest output, we would detect any plasma readings. It's only our dispersion reflex shield that stops us being detected. The World Eaters don't have those.
Well, that makes no sense, said Bran, returning to his command throne. Why leave a gap in their defences? Are any other vessels moving to provide orbital support?
Negative, Commander, said the scanning officer. The only other vessel in the vicinity is a World Eaters battle barge, and it's changing course to follow the main fleet.
Bran was immediately suspicious. It was not only a foolish oversight, it was inconceivable that a space marine would make such a mistake.
Ground defences in that area? He asked.
None that we are aware of, said the officer. Archives on Istvan V are quite up to date. The mountainous region is almost devoid of population. No defence installations. We're too far away to detect anything without revealing our location.
As unsettling as the apparent lapse was, it was an opportunity that could not be thrown away. Bran checked the display again, calculating scanner ranges and speeds for the enemy vessels. They were already too far away to respond to the presence of the Raven Guard fleet. The longer he waited, the greater the chance that the World Eaters would attack. Angron was known for his lack of patience and might well launch his assault ahead of schedule. Stealth had again proven its worth. Now was the time for swiftness of action to show its value. Bran swung in his chair towards the communications team.
Signal the fleet. Drop reflex shields and divert all power to engines and navigation. Inform all flight decks and drop bays to prepare for immediate launch. Air crews to their craft. This is our chance to strike. The enemy will know that the Raven Guard are not yet dead.
Metal rang on metal, filling Delarax's chamber with noise. Steel plate buckled and tore as he pounded his fists into the wall, every impact sending a shower of metal splinters into the air. He grunted and growled as he punched, every smashing blow delivered with a snarl. His mind was aflame with his anger, his implant feeding his rage with a cocktail of stimulants. He barely heard the sound of the comm alert through the thundering of his hearts. He ignored it and continued to vent his ire on the battered wall, slamming the cracked knuckles of his gauntlets into metal until he was pulverizing the rockcrete bulkhead beneath. A more insistent noise broke through his frenzy. The battle alert. The communication system bleeped again. Shaking from frustration, the World Eater almost destroyed the communications panel with his stabbing finger. The speaker spat sparks, but still worked. The voice of the chief scanning officer filtering through the rush of blood in Delarax's ears.
Lieutenant Commander, we have detected an enemy fleet achieving orbit around Istvan V. They are en route for the Legion's position.
Turn to engage! All power to engines!
Delarax snarled. He did not care how the ships had eluded detection, or who they were. He felt a surge of vindication, his anger dissipating. He ran from his quarters and headed for the bridge, pounding along the corridors until he reached the mechanical conveyor. His personal comm system chimed in his ear.
Lieutenant Commander, what are your orders? Asked Cordasis. Sensors report a Raven Guard battle barge and two cruisers in escort. Attack!
Delarax snarled as he stepped through the opening doors of the conveyor. He prodded the button for the bridge.
Make all speed to intercept the flagship.
Is that wise? We are outnumbered.
Show some pride, Cordasis. We have been made to look like fools by Korax's cowardly subterfuge. We attack, as World Eaters should.
There was the sound of another communication connection for a few moments before Horus's representative spoke into Delarax's ear.
Why have we changed course, Lieutenant Commander?
Have you been asleep? The Raven Guard are attempting to escape.
The conveyor jolted as it reached the level of the bridge and headed towards the prow of the battle barge.
That is not your concern, Lieutenant Commander, said Horus's representative. The matter is being dealt with.
How? Snapped Dalarax. We are the only ship with a hope of intercepting the evacuation fleet.
Your orders have not changed, Lieutenant Commander. If you persist in this disobedience, I will have you removed from command.
This is my ship. I will not be threatened by the likes of you,
Dalarax replied. He pulled the comm bead from his ear and dashed it against the metal wall of the conveyor. The doors slid open a few seconds later, and the World-Eater strode out into the corridor and turned towards the bridge. Inside, Cordasis was waiting, fully armoured, helm hanging from his belt. The scars on his face twisted as the captain smiled.
"Not listening to your minder," said Cordasis.
"What can he do to stop me?"
Dalarax loomed over the navigation officers.
"How long until we reach the Raven Guard ships?"
26 minutes, Lieutenant Commander," the man replied. 20 if we overcharge the reactors."
"Do it! Every minute wasted gives the Raven Guard a chance to escape Angron's assault."
He turned his attention to the communications officer.
"Any message from Legion Command or the Primarch?"
"Negative, Lieutenant Commander," the technician replied. "They may not even be aware of the fleet's arrival."
"Signal them with the news and pass on that we are en route to engage the enemy," said Dalarax.
He addressed all of the bridge crew, looking at Cordasis.
"We shall be lauded in the World Eater's role of honour for today. It is we that shall bring about the destruction of Korax and his legion."
Contact established with the Primarch.
Valerius's announcement that Korax still lived brought a cheer from the other members of the bridge staff.
"The dropships are landing now."
Bran nodded his understanding and looked at the main display. The course of the World Eater battle barge was being tracked by a red dot. It was heading directly for the Avenger.
"Time until the evacuation is complete?" he asked.
30 minutes at least," came the reply from Valerius.
"Too long,"
Bran muttered. He opened up the fleet frequency with an armoured finger.
"This is Commander Bran to all vessels. We will remain in position for extraction. The evacuation is your only concern."
A series of acknowledgements came back. It was a gamble. The fleet was too low in orbit and too close together to properly engage the incoming World Eater's ship. But if they dispersed, the lift to orbit would take even longer. Once every shuttle and dropship was back on board, the Raven Guard could fight off their attacker and leave.
"First craft laden and taking off," reported Valerius. There was a laugh from one of the communications aides.
"Listen to this,"
he said, channeling a signal to the bridge's speakers.
"And away! Fall upon them, my World Eaters! Do not let them escape!"
A bestial rage-filled howl rang around the bridge.
"Korax! I know you can hear me! Come back and fight like a space marine, you coward! I have promised your blood to my blade and your head to the War Master, and I shall deliver both! Face me, you dishonorable bastard!"
Angron's voice devolved into snarls and wordless pants. Bran signaled for the officer to cut the signal. The minutes ticked past slowly. Bran sat in his command throne, dividing his attention between the chronometer and the position of the enemy battle barge. It was going to be close.
"Korax is aboard the last dropship,"
Valerius said. He slumped back into his seat and looked at Bran.
"Do you trust me now?"
The Raven Guard commander crossed the bridge and gently grasped the red sash across the prefector's chest.
"Your life is yours," said Bran.
He let go of the sash and soothed away the crease he had made.
"Your family's honour is upheld. I am sorry for my distrust, Marcus."
Valerius sighed and smiled.
"It does not really matter, does it?"
he said, tugging at the sash. "Honour, loyalty, family. Horus will care for none of that."
"And that is why they are more important than ever," said Bran. "Especially loyalty."
Weapon bays opened along the length of the dedicated Roth, revealing banks of macro cannons, plasma drivers and missile bays, like a savage hound baring its teeth. Along the dorsal superstructure, bombardment turrets swiveled, their cannons extending from armoured towers.
retro thrusters fired along the battle barge's length as it reduced speed for the attack, its course curving gracefully to starboard so that its massive broadside would be brought to bear. On the bridge, Delarac stood behind his command throne, his fingers gripping its back. The display was alive with signals showing the position of the Raven Guard vessels and their returning dropcraft. The World Eater had calculated his angle of attack to bring him between the enemy battle barge and the returning flotilla of landing craft. He heard the growl of the bridge doors opening and turned to see Horus's representative enter. The Space Marine wore his helmet, as he had done in every meeting since coming aboard. His armor was painted in blue livery, but was otherwise devoid of any organizational markings. "Cease your attack, Lieutenant Commander." The order came in a calm, clipped tone from the Space Marine's external address system, and had the ring of artificial modulation to disguise it. Delarax laughed and turned back to the main screen.
"Korax and his Legion are doomed," he said. "See for yourself. In less than 10 minutes we will open fire and destroy them forever."
"I speak with the authority of the War Master," said the Space Marine. "Cease your attack immediately."
"That authority counts for nothing here," said Delarax.
He turned and squared off against the other.
"If you want your orders to be obeyed, return to the Alpha Legion where you belong."
"It has been decided that Korax has still a part to play," said the Alpha Legionnaire. "It has been decided that for the moment he will be allowed to live."
"Decided by you?"
Delarax's question was harsh with scorn.
"Who are you to make such a decision?"
"I am Alpharius," said the Legionnaire.
"Remove yourself from my bridge, or I will have your corpse removed."
Delarax glimpsed Cordasis to his left, pulling a bolt pistol from its holster. The World Eater smiled at the Alpha Legionnaire. His smile faded as he felt the cold touch of a muzzle against his cheek. He turned his head a fraction to see Cordasis holding his pistol to Delarax's head.
"What is this?" the Lieutenant Commander hissed.
"What are you doing, Cordasis?"
"I am not Cordasis," said the Space Marine, holding the bolt pistol. "I am Alpharius." Delarax twisted and made a lunge for the traitor's gun. Muzzle flash blinded the World Eater, and an instant later, he felt the side of his skull exploding. Bran stood in the docking bay, watching the dropships landing. The first were already disembarking their passengers. With weary steps, the survivors of the Raven Guard filed down the ramps onto the deck. They were a terrible sight. Most showed signs of injury. Their armor was a patchwork of colors. Here, the silver of an Iron Warrior shoulder pad. There, the grey breastplate of a Word-Bearer. Their armour was cracked and broken, bloodied and stained, and every face Bran looked upon was etched with fatigue. Glassy-eyed, the last survivors of the drop-site massacre trudged across the loading bay, welcomed by smiles and cheers from Bran's warriors. The last of the shuttles touched down. Bran approached it as the docking ramp lowered. The first Space Marine out was a bizarre sight, his armour a mess of colours and bare ceramite. Only his shoulder pad bearing the Legion's badge remained from his original suit. He took off his helmet and tossed it on the floor.
"Agapito," Bran laughed.
He slapped a hand to his true brother's chest.
"I knew you would be alive. Too stubborn to let something like this kill you."
Bran looked closely at his brother, amazed by his outlandish appearance. A new scar ran from his right cheek to his throat, but beyond that it was the same face Bran had known for his whole life. Agapito returned the smile wearily. His deep brown eyes regarded Bran warmly. He reached a hand behind Bran's head and pulled him closer. The two touched foreheads in a sign of respect and comradeship.
"I see you have not managed to stay out of trouble, Bran."
The commander stepped back from Agapito to see Korax descending the ramp. The Primarch towered over his Legiones Astartes, his black armor showing as much wear and tear as that of those under his command.
"I was monitoring your transmissions," said Korax. "Why did the enemy abort their attack?"
"I have no idea, Lord Korax," said Bran. Perhaps they thought better of the idea, taking on three vessels at once.
Where are they now?
Asked the Primarch. They've withdrawn to 100,000 kilometers, Bran replied. They don't look as if they'll try to attack again.
Odd, said Korax.
He shook his head as if dismissing a thought.
Signal the other ships to make course for deliverance.
Yes, Lord Korax, Bran said, holding his fist to his chest. And where are we to head?
Terra, replied the Primarch. I must have an audience with the Emperor.
Blood and brains leaked from the side of Delarax's skull. The World Eater's Lieutenant Commander could feel his life leaking away with it. He could not move his legs and arms and could feel nothing below his neck. It was an effort just to breathe. He swiveled his eyes up to Cordasis, wondering who it was he looked at.
Why?
He asked, his voice barely a whisper. The Alpha Legionnaire loomed into view, stooping over Delarax. The World Eater could see his ravaged face reflected in the dark eye lenses of the Alpha Legionnaire's helmet. That blank mask betrayed nothing of the Space Marine's thoughts or mood. His metal-edged voice seemed distant as Delarax drew a last rattling breath.
In times such as these, even the most trusted face can conceal an enemy.
The Face of Treachery was written by Gav Thorpe and read by Jonathan Keeble. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. This work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited 2011. All rights reserved.